Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from his Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. If you follow sports at all, or you played sports in high school of any kind, what's kind of ingrained into our thinking is that when you build a team, you always build a team from the top down. Now, if you're an avid Packer fan, our football season is pretty much over. So if you're like me, you're scrambling for a favorite on who's left in the playoffs. But the teams that aren't playing anymore and have been for quite some time are already concentrating on the draft. They're looking at where they possibly will be. Who's the best player they're going to get at that position? I mean, these are things that we have grown up with all our lives. It affects us at an early age. And that's what I would like to share with you today, is that effect at an early age. I guess maybe I was all of 10 years old, about fourth grade, I remember. But you'd run out for recess, and recess was really, really important. And all of the real talented athletic kids were always the team captain. And then they take turns picking to create their team. Okay, well, when you were playing football, first and foremost, it was pretty much always boys. So you didn't have any girls involved. And usually you'd get down and then there'd be the last two or three and that they just would have to pick. You know, they really weren't good at it, but they just had to pick them. Or, you know, they'd just be, the other folks would just be tired of being last, picked last, and they would just walk off disappointed and not participate at all. And that's how it went. Basketball was the same way. You only had so many basketballs on the playground, right? So you can only have five on a team. So if you weren't good enough to be in that five, everybody else just kind of walked away and they didn't play. I have to say that as I look back, I did not agree all the time with all my teachers. But I was blessed with some pretty good ones. And at that age, it was no exception. When you went through spring and or winter and you came into spring, this gentleman understood just how much that cabin fever type of thing would set in. And once in a while, he would cheat in the afternoon, the hour or so before the bus would come, and say, "We're all going to go outside and play baseball. But here's the one rule. Everybody has to play. Unless you physically could not, whether you had your arm in a sling from a minor accident or a broken wrist or something where you couldn't run, you had to play. Didn't matter whether you liked baseball, didn't matter whether you were any good at it. If the class was going to go out for an extra hour of fun, everyone had to participate. And not only that, but when we got outside, it wasn't the real talented kids that got to be the team captains. He picked those people that didn't get picked to play. He picked the young men and young ladies that couldn't be a part or wasn't allowed to be a part of things. And then they got to choose the team. And what was funny was they kind of all picked their friends and not always the best talent. So you can imagine the makeup of the teams were just unusual, at least at that age. But everybody participated. The teams were literally built opposite of the way we've been taught as kids. They were built from the ground up, not from the top down. And we played. And it came on very, very quick that the score just didn't matter. And I can't remember laughing so hard. I mean, we had more fun. And the camaraderie that we had in that fourth grade class was never repeated again in all my years in school. Because you grew older, things changed, then you went to junior high, there was this influx of just any number of people that you hadn't met before. Your whole world was changing before you. But that was back in the day where you had 25 kids in class, and you came into that classroom and you stayed right there. And that literally on that ball diamond is where we became family. Now, I thought long and hard. And there isn't one person in that class that I stay in touch with yet today. And that's unfortunate when I think back at that. I have a lot of good friends from school that I still stay in contact with weekly, but none in that class. But I hope that they took away from that the same thing that I did, because the emphasis that the teacher put on all of it was all. A-L-L, all have to participate or we're not going outside. Well, whether you like baseball or not, it's a whole lot better outside than it is inside sitting in your desk. So everybody participated. Everybody participated, everybody learned to laugh, and everybody learned to have fun. When the Christ child was born, God entered our lives in the simplest, lowliest, most humble way. He came in to change our lives, and he didn't do it through kings and scribes and Pharisees. He did not do it from the top down. He came in from a lowly manger, from the bottom up. And the first people this message was shared with were shepherds. You know, we like to think of the nice little shepherds, oh, they're cute and nice. Look, folks, they didn't like these folks around their village. Things disappeared when shepherds were in the neighborhood. And then shepherds would mysteriously vanish at night. They were not looked upon as the best asset to your community. And yet it was these that God chose to acknowledge and to celebrate and to proclaim the birth of his son. It was through the lowly that came with nothing but their heart and their faith that knelt before the child and then left and quietly proclaimed, we think, we hope, this wonderful gift and birth, but waited patiently with the rest of the world for this young man to grow up. Now we understand the shepherds to be Jewish, but what of the wise men? Because the next people to come and pay homage to the Christ child were not of that area. They were not of that race. We're not really sure where exactly they came from. We know little or nothing about them, only that they came from afar and they were outside of that area. They were outside of that faith and religion. They weren't even an abstract Jewish sect that didn't get along with another. They were outside. They were Gentile, they were you, and they were me. And in their coming, in their praise, in their homage, God included all. The Christ child is there for all of us. And it started from places that we would never, ever, ever expect. Now, the one thing that you can probably already figure, just like those kids back in fourth grade, boy, if you were the number one athlete, you didn't like your position shaken up. You did the choosing. You didn't want to be chose. So you can imagine the reaction of Herod and people like Herod today. When God builds things through lowly, God builds things through simple things. God creates something for all people, and we don't have control over that. He does. Our human nature wants to take control of it. Our human nature wants to say, no, 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 I want to play by my rules. I want to pick my team. And God says, I simply will not have it. We're all going to play together. Whether you want to play or not, we're all going to play together. And it's through these things that God, in his wonderful wisdom and grace, opened up his love to all his creation. The Jewish people are still the chosen race, as it tells us in the Old Testament. And the prophecies for that race were fulfilled in the birth of Christ. But in the birth of Christ, we were all included, each and every one of us. And as they waited patiently for this young man to grow up, They really didn't have any idea. The shepherds knew it was the Messiah. What does that mean? The wise men said, King of the Jews. What kind of king would he be? No one knew. And yet he came to live. He came to laugh, to cry, to feel heartache, to feel joy, to feel pain, and to feel death. That's what kind of king he was. He came to make a difference that could never be undone. He came to start the creation of God's team, where all are included, where all have gifts, where all participate. That's what he did. And he did that out of love for his creation. He did that out of love for you and for me. The shepherds brought nothing but a believing heart. The wise men bring gifts. We all have those gifts. Just as that those young people on that ball diamond didn't realize it, but they had gifts too. If nothing else but to laugh and support. And in Epiphany, God is calling us as well to bring our gifts, to be inclusive, that when we say we welcome all, we do, and we do it all together, and we bring what gifts we have, as simple or as complex, and we proclaim the Christ child. We proclaim Christ crucified. We proclaim Christ risen. And we proclaim all these things so that others may also know that love of God as well. Here's the rules, folks. This team's all inclusive, and whether you know it, you're all on it. You're all a part of it. We all have gifts to lay before the King. May we do just that this new year. Amen.